Hello, everyone, and welcome in to a little Wednesday afternoon breaking news. Some scheduling news announced by the SEC today on Wednesday. The league has announced that they will be using their 2025 schedule. It is going to remain as an 8-game schedule. The most interesting thing to note, as I pull up the schedule here for you to see on your screen, it will be the reverse order of what the 2024 schedule was in terms of home games and away games. Dates and times have not been announced yet. But for Georgia, that means that after visiting these schools in 2024, in 2025, Georgia will get to host Alabama, they will get to host Kentucky, they will get to host Ole Miss, and they will get to host Texas. BA, as someone who has the voice of the fan, the pulse of the fan, I see this as a massive win for Georgia fans that have long, rightfully so, complained about the state of the home schedule. And so I offer this up to you. As someone who's very close to this fan base, understands it, knows it, has been going to Sanford Stadium for a long time, what does this schedule announcement mean?
I think it's the best home schedule Georgia's probably ever played. You know, it is somewhat reminiscent of in 2019 when Georgia had home games against Notre Dame and Texas A&M, and the A&M game kind of turned out not to be as big as it possibly could. So it's somewhat reminiscent of the feeling we had a couple of years ago. But I think on paper, when you include Alabama and, you know, Texas, that's obviously a really big deal. Alabama just hasn't been to Athens very much. The last couple of times haven't been, you know, very favorable. But it's like it's 2015. It's 2008. I think it was 2003. Like, it's a weird thing to say, but like Alabama coming to Athens is a pretty big deal because of how infrequently that's happened because of the rotating schedule. I don't think this is necessarily a great thing for the SEC overall. We can get to that in a minute if you want to. But in terms of the Georgia part of this, we all looked at this 2024 schedule and said, wow, really, really, you know, tough road games. Now have that flip for 2025, I think sets up a very hot home ticket. It's also worth noting that they're supposed to, I'm assuming this is still going to happen, begin the season in Pasadena against UCLA. UCLA may not be very good, but there'll be a lot of nostalgia about being back in Pasadena after obviously the great memories of 2017. So I think that for all the excitement about the 2024 schedule for Georgia, which I think is justifiably so, I think the 2025 schedule for a completely different set of reasons sets up to be really fun as well.
Yeah, it's a long time from now. We bring on Mike Griffith here. Mike, you've covered this league for a long time. The SEC announcing they're going to stick with an 8-game slate for 2025. What do you make of this schedule, and, you know, not so much what it necessarily means for Georgia, but the decision at large to stick with the 8-game format for the 2025 season?
Yeah, I think they needed to do that. You know, I think that we saw what happened last year with Georgia and the injuries, the attrition. We saw the Big Ten win a national championship, you know, while, you know, Georgia and Alabama were slugging it out, taking it out of each other in an SEC championship game. Michigan was moonwalking over Iowa in a lopsided game, a Big Ten championship game, not very competitive at all. I think the average margin of victory was like 21 points over the previous 8 years. So that's to the SEC's disadvantage when it comes to a longer, a deeper conference schedule. What I don't like about it is, you know, the whole concept and of the models and going to the SEC spring meetings over the last, whatever it's been, 5 or 6 years, was the idea of playing more different teams, right? This was, you know, the 1-8 model or the 2-7 model or the 1-7 model. The whole idea was that SEC teams were going to get to play a bigger variety. Well, they're not doing that. They're playing the same doggone teams again. And so there is no LSU. There is no trip to Texas A&M. There is no game against Oklahoma. It's the same schedule. And the only thing I can come up with in terms of why they would do this and go against all the logic and all the reasoning they were giving us for changing the schedule model to play different teams was because this is probably the only thing everyone could agree on outside of Florida, which, you know, what are the odds of Billy Napier sticking around after this year, much less if they get through it this year. I don't like it for Georgia because I think you're playing Ole Miss probably at their pinnacle 3 straight years, you know, playing Alabama and you know, essentially home and home and, you know, Kalen DeBoer, maybe you catch a break there because, you know, this guy, we'll wait and see what happens with Alabama. They're in a transition. But catching Mississippi State, I guess what, that's, would it be 3 straight years for Georgia, Mississippi State? I mean, that's kind of a dog.
Three out of five.
Yeah, it's kind of a dog with flea games. I don't think anybody has any, you know, Mississippi State's a dog with fleas. I mean, they half a rung above Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, at least you get to go to Nashville. You know, it's too bad you don't play South Carolina. It's what, an hour and a half away from you. So I mean, we can pick whatever. It's close enough. We can pick and choose. Unfortunately, South Carolina being an adjacent state, you don't play them anymore. It seems like that's too bad. I don't like playing Mississippi State this many times. I think it's, you know, like I said, dog with fleas game. No rivalry there. No Arkansas there. No Oklahoma. No Texas A&M. Same schedule as this year. I get 8 games. I'm in on 8 games. I'm out on teams playing the same teams as a year ago.
Let me just correct myself on one thing. It will be 3 straight against Mississippi State and 4 out of the last 5 years. Let me just make sure I correct myself.
Fair. The ombudsman there, as always. I mean, I will say, you know, and again, I think so much of this is waiting to see what they ultimately decide to do with the college football playoff in that format starting in 2026. They're locked into a 12-teamer for the next 2 years there. And so, as Mike points out, you understand, I think them wanting to take this, you know, at a one at a time and sort of the understanding there of what that is ultimately going to look like. I mean, again, I was a college senior the last time that Alabama came here. Now, that was a disaster of a game, but it was still a really, really fun atmosphere and something that was always going to be exciting. And I think I like the fact that Alabama, you know, again, I don't expect the entire program to fall apart with Nick Saban moving on and moving ultimately to College Game Day. So I think that's something to be excited for. I think, look, Georgia and Texas are two of the marquee programs in this league. And I think the league is going to want those two teams to sort of try and prop them up and have that matchup in there. So I think, and again, you know, so much of this, look, and I can remember, you know, just awful home slate year after year, beating up on an SEC East that quite frankly wasn't all that good. You know, the fact that you're getting these big games, it's better than nothing. And when you add in the fact, as Brandon points out, you know, you're opening the year in the Rose Bowl, something that's going to be exciting and nostalgic for a lot of fans there. It's something that at least isn't a step in the right direction, if not a perfect measure. And so ultimately, we'll see what the SEC decides to do as far as, you know, ultimately when Georgia plays Texas A&M, if that ever ends up happening out there in College Station. But I think for Georgia, for the Georgia fan at least, I think today this is good news and welcome news.
Oh, I totally agree with that, Connor, because, I mean, a major talking point in almost every year of the Kirby Smart era has been, boy, this home slate doesn't look very good. Probably there have been a number of years where I have at the beginning of the year thought, gosh, this may be the worst home schedule Georgia's ever had. Now, in a weird way, a lot of those games end up being better than you would expect. Tennessee in 2022 is an example of that. Arkansas and Kentucky both were an example of that in 2021. Schedules have a way of being more fun than you expect them to be sometimes, and Georgia, I think, has benefited from that with some of the home games the last couple of years. But to begin a season, a lot of complaints from season ticket holders, a lot of, you know, just sort of disgruntled, you know, feelings about the fact that big games not taking place in Athens. Well, that's not going to be a problem in 2024, and that's what I think is really good. As I said before, you know, I think you can question the wisdom of just sort of rerunning the same schedule 2 years in a row. You know, I think it sort of looks to me like the SEC has Texas and Oklahoma, but it's not really quite so sure how to use those two new programs to the full benefit of this league. But in the case of just isolating this and just looking at this from a Georgia standpoint, I think if you're a Georgia fan, you got to be nothing but happy. You dominate games at home. You have now for a long period of time. So when you get a chance to face the Texases and the Alabamas and the Ole Misses, when you get a chance to face teams like that at home, that is to your advantage, just given the fact that you played so well there. And obviously these will be really, really hot tickets between the edges, and the excitement around that, I just think is the kind of thing that, you know, has been probably few and far between for a lot of these Georgia home games in recent years. And so from that standpoint, you know, the thing that I'm seeing from a lot of Georgia fans is excitement. And I would say rightly so.
Yeah. And you know, as far as predicting what teams are going to look like, BA, you've touched on this in the offseason, and Mike, I'll kick it to you. It's impossible to know what teams are going to look like on a year-by-year basis, so much on a semester-by-semester basis after the latest Kane Proctor news out of Iowa. So, you know, as far as projecting out what teams are going to look like, so much of this is going to change. And in that sense, I wouldn't read too much into, you know, what Alabama looks like when they come here to visit in 2025, or what Texas or Ole Miss look like, or what Georgia has to do when they go on the road to Tennessee in 2025. But I think today, if you're a Georgia fan, I think you welcome the schedule, because this is what for so long you've been hearing about. And 2025, at least on paper, looks like the first time you're going to get it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Connor. I guess one of the things I question also is, like, why now? Why is this coming out on March 20th and the middle, is this like a Friday dump where the SEC is just sliding this in the offseason when nobody's – typically when they do things like this, there's some big schedule reveal and some program and some big promotion that they've decided they're sticking with eight. And Tuesday night, join us Tuesday night at 7 p.m. and we'll unveil. And it just feels like this is just kind of thrown out there. It doesn't feel like a victory lap to the SEC to me. It feels like a concession, right? Like this is the best we can come up with. Not enough ADs and presidents will agree on changing. And then I also look at and while I do think a game at the Rose Bowl is always it's not the same when you play UCLA out there as a Rose, which is not the same. Hopefully there'll be enough fans there to make it feel full. I'm sure there'll be 20 or 25,000 dog fans. I don't know if there'll be that many UCLA fans. I mean, when the last coach left to be an assistant coach somewhere else, it's not the same. And you play at Georgia Tech. So, you still got that Georgia Tech game. You keep punting a very valuable weekend to play this rivalry game. And home games are at a premium, right? When you don't play Florida at home and you're giving away a game every other year to a bottom dweller ACC. Well, I shouldn't say that. They gave Georgia all they wanted last year. I question the value of the schedule. It's exciting this year because you're playing at Texas and you're getting Alabama again. But I'm with a lot of the commenters here that wanted to see LSU, that wanted to see A&M, that wanted to see Oklahoma, that wanted something different. The thing I cannot get away from after going to those SEC spring meetings every single year, all we hear about is how important it is to play different schools. All we hear Kirby Smart talk about is how cool it was to play in all these stadiums and all these different schools. And I cannot believe that in the face of everything they've told us, they did a complete 180 and they're playing the same doggone schools again.
But for Georgia, this is different. It is Alabama for the first time since 2015. It's Texas at home, I believe, for the first time ever, I think. I know it's been 60 years they've been to Austin. I guess they must have been to Athens at some point in time, too. But certainly for the first time as a member of the SEC. So from a Georgia standpoint, this is a good bit different than what previous Georgia schedules, have looked like.
Same teams, though. I mean, you could have LSU here for the first time since whenever. You could have Oklahoma here for the first time. But it's the same teams as a year ago. Now, I think Connor brought up a really good point. Georgia will have a different quarterback. Could Alabama have a different quarterback? Texas will have a different quarterback. So while it may be the same teams, there'll be different quarterbacks in some of these premium. Ole Miss will have a different quarterback. And we don't know how good everyone is going to be. My problem, Brandon, is that you've got 16 teams in the league right now, and you're playing the same seven teams from one year to the next, and that was never supposed to be a part of the plan when we were looking at all these different models.
And, Connor, what I think that, Mike is kind of speaking to here a little bit is, this is a little bit of a problem, I think, for college football overall. While I think this is good news for Georgia, fun news for Georgia, I do think it's a little bit problematic that, last year college football sort of existed with a little bit of a lame duck status. We knew it was the last year of the 14 playoff. We knew the 12-team playoff was coming. And now, because of the fact that the 14-team playoff is coming, and the unspoken part about this is, by the time the SEC does another schedule for 2026, who's to say this league is still 16 teams? I mean, at that point in time, depending on how the legal, rumblings happen in the ACC, this could be an even different SEC by 2026. You at least have to consider that as a possibility. My point is that I do think something is lost by college football overall. The more years we go sort of waiting for the next thing to happen, we're waiting for the 12-team playoff. Now we're waiting for the 14-team playoff. We're waiting for the idea that the SEC might eventually expand to the 9-game conference schedule, because if you don't do that, you can't have Texas, Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M every year. Some of these rivalry games that you want to have, you wouldn't be able to have those, every single year. But we're sort of waiting to get there to see if ESPN will eventually do the right thing, I believe, and, pony up more money, for that schedule inventory. So I do think that while this is a fun thing from Georgia, if you just look at the eight conference games that Georgia's going to play, I think the longer college football goes and kind of what I think of as a lame duck operation, waiting for the next thing to get here, playoff expansion, conference expansion, schedule realignment, I do think that something's lost for that, because I don't think that confusion ever breeds excitement and intensity on the part of fans.
Well, I will say this. Look, before Greg Sankey finds his next thing to try and ruin, as he's clearly set his sights on the NCAA tournament at this point in time, I do think that, again, it's important to be in the present with this kind of stuff. And you are 100% right, BA, about, the long-term worry and the lame duck feeling with all of this. But I did some quick research there. Texas has never played in Austin or in Athens, excuse me.
Okay.
So like you can say, yes, you want to go see LSU, you want to go see Oklahoma. I want to see Texas come play in Athens. A lot of people do. I think, you know, I just as a fan of college football, that's going to be a unique atmosphere and a unique environment. And so ultimately, like, yeah, sure, Georgia's going to have to go make that trip to College Station at some point as they enter what will be their 13th year in the league and have still never made a trip to Athens. And I understand fans may want to see that. But, you know, again, I think with so much, and as you point out, BA, all of this is going to change. It's probably all going to change again. I mean, you know, Georgia has future games scheduled against Clemson. Who knows if those end up getting played as conference games or as non-conference games. Mm-hmm. So I think as we sit here in today, it's easy to be cynical about the state of college football and where all of this is going. And I think you're fair, Mike, to bring up the complaints about, well, I'd like to go see Oklahoma, I'd like to go see LSU and things along the lines of that. But for what we have right now, I think the fact that Georgia in the same year is going to play Alabama and Texas at home, whereas I know from my time here as a student, you know, that Alabama home game was something you got once every 4 years, if even that, because I know kids, you know, my sister never got to see Alabama play in Sanford Stadium there. So it's something you spend your entire college career looking for. It's something you, as fans, certainly spend time looking for. And I think, you know, while you're right to be cynical and ask the right questions about what all this means moving forward, on itself for today, March 20th, 2024, I think this is great and welcome news for the Georgia program.
Totally. Mike, if you gave me my wish list of the two things I would most want to see in the 2025 schedule, if I could have my choice of anything for Georgia, the two things I'd most want to see, home game against Texas, home game against Alabama, and Georgia's got that. Anything else to me is just sort of, you know, window, you know, that's just sort of packing peanuts around the things that matter most of, okay, well, if Georgia's got to be the first sort of big SEC game for Texas, then give me that return trip the following year. If Georgia is going to Tuscaloosa, you know, in the first year of Kalen DeBoer, let's go ahead and get that return trip. You know, I don't love for the entirety of the league the sort of flip-flopping of the schedule, because I do think it works to the benefit of a team like, say, Missouri, that's playing a much easier schedule to get that 2 years in a row, I think could matter for them. But in terms of just looking at this isolated with Georgia, if I had my wish list of what I'd want more than anything else, home game against Texas, who, let's face it, that's the biggest possible team other than Georgia you could play in the SEC right now, and the home game against Alabama because the rarity of it. You know, in Connor's lifetime, in my lifetime, which is unfortunately much longer than Connor's is, Georgia hadn't played Alabama very much in my lifetime either, going back to even when I was a kid. It's just a very weird thing. These two schools have not played each other very much, and so if you gave me my wish list of, for all the various reasons, what I'd want to see, these two home games would be the top of my wish list, and that's what Georgia's got. And anything else after that, to me, is just sort of secondary.
Well, you know, on the micro, I completely agree. I mean, that's kind of like what's right in front of our face. And I think you said it best, BA. I think that there's celebrations going off in Columbia, Missouri, where not only do they have St. Louis boosters buying players where Georgia can't outbid them for Luther Burden, but they're playing Vanderbilt 2 years in a row. They're playing Kentucky 2 years in a row. They're playing South Carolina 2 years in a row. They're playing Arkansas 2 years in a row. It paves the way for Missouri to be a contender. The macro, and this is where I know we do think differently, and that's great. It's great. We all play a different instrument, sing a different song. But I think in terms of what's going to get Georgia national championships, I think I'm at the point where this program, to me, not fair, but I think that Kirby Smart has put together a national championship program. I'm here for the dynasty. I want the path that's going to give Kirby the best opportunity to win a national championship. And there's a good chance that you may have to play Alabama or Texas or Ole Miss, maybe twice, because it's no longer East and West. We have to get rid of that thinking, right? It's the top two teams now that play. And so now not only are you butting heads with these other championship caliber programs, the Texases, the Alabamas, we talked about how aggressive Ole Miss has been in the portal, but you may have to play them twice. And that's, you know, you guys have heard my logic on the Jacksonville game. It's one more game 340 miles away every other year that could be a home game. You've heard me complain about Georgia Tech. It's one more game that can be an automatic home game every year. I don't think that series is worth a home and home. There's other in-state schools if you want to play that. If you want to play that in-state card, bring a different in-state school in here every year. My point is I'd like to see a schedule that's more aligned to get this team national championships than ratings for ESPN on Saturday. I thought what happened, you know, in 2020 was an abomination. I'll never forgive the SEC for that. instead of just rolling the schedule, and we went to that 10-game schedule, and I know you remember this, they let Alabama and Florida skip playing each other and stuck Georgia in Tuscaloosa. The whole thing was a setup.
That game had already been scheduled.
The thing that you were supposed to do was roll the next teams. When you went from 8 to 10 games, the logical step to take would be to play the next two teams that would have rotated on your schedule. And Florida should have played Alabama in 2020 by that simple rotation. But they didn't do that. They said, well, let's skip Florida and Alabama. That'd give Florida too difficult of a schedule. And Georgia played the one-off in Tuscaloosa. It was what ended up happening in 2020. By the way, Georgia was winning that game at halftime with Stetson Bennett against the eventual national champions. So I've seen these scheduled games before. I don't like the way this works. And I don't think that this is the best case. Now, I'm not saying I don't like it, but this is not the best case scenario for Georgia national championship, in my opinion.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood? It's a beautiful day. We got fun news. Got a great home schedule. This is good for business. Like, why are you in such a bad mood? Like,
all Georgia football.
Now it's too hard.
I'm not saying it's too hard. I'm telling you that I don't think it's equitable. When I look at Missouri's schedule, and I don't know, Brandon, do you think Missouri and Georgia have the same schedule strength this year, next year? You'd say no. So that's my only point.
Still Missouri, but they do have an easier schedule. I mean,
Georgia down to the wire 2 years in a row. I mean,
they lost four times.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years specifically. But my point is, Georgia's here to win titles, in my opinion, right? I know everybody likes to go to the beach and they like the different games, but Kirby wants national championships, and you're on the brink of it. And this momentum right now in this era of transfer portal and NIL, and we've talked about it on our calls, and Jeff's not here, but he would mention it, the Kirby bump, the way Georgia can get more for less because players recognize when they come here, they're practicing with the best, they're competing for national titles. This momentum right now, more pivotal than ever. I think eventually they'll figure this thing out. I don't know if it's salary cap, employees, whatever. But right now, it's Wild West, and Georgia is carrying a ton of momentum. And this schedule is going to make it a little bit harder and give Missouri an artificial boost and their nerdy coach an artificial boost that Georgia's not going to get.
Are we 100% sure the UCLA game is going to happen?
As far as...
I'm literally just sort of bringing this up because the Oklahoma game did get canceled. Now, that's a completely different reason than why the UCLA game would. But when this contract was written between Georgia and UCLA, the world looked so different than it looks now. UCLA was still in the Pac-12. Georgia didn't know Texas and Oklahoma are going to be in the SEC. Is there any chance? And, you know, I think Mike alluded to this a little earlier. UCLA is also, as a program, of a much lower stature than they once were. They just lost their head coach to go be an offensive coordinator. And I don't think that's likely to change over the course of the next couple of years. Is there any chance they don't want to play the game? Georgia doesn't want to travel 3,000 miles? Like, is there any chance this game doesn't get played?
I will say this. One, when this game was first scheduled, I was going into my senior year of college, and I was the sports editor at the Red and Black at that point in time. So it shows you how long this game has been on schedule. Two, UCLA has real money problems. There are a couple of former Pac-12 schools that have had issues with that. And I imagine that UCLA is probably not all that interested in buying their way out of this game because of the monetary penalty that would come with that. So it would have to be something from the Georgia side ultimately deciding if they didn't want to go make this trip out there and go play out on the West Coast. But I think you look at the way Georgia's recruited from California in recent years and the number of players they've gotten there, not just Brock Bowers out of Napa, but Ernest Green out of the Los Angeles area there and Roderick Robinson from San Diego. They have consistently recruited well out of the state of California.
Frazier.
And so I think that this is a game that because of that pipeline, you know, for guys that could potentially be on that team for Georgia next year, I think that's something that incentivizes them to keep that on the schedule. But in resetting things here, we'll make it a final sort of thought here of such. Georgia 2025 schedule announced. We'll pull it back up for you on the main screen here. Georgia gets home games against Alabama, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Texas. Road games against Auburn, Tennessee, and Mississippi State, and then the Georgia-Florida game will be in Jacksonville. Quick note there, They don't know yet what they're going to do with the Georgia-Florida game in 2026, as there is some talk about potentially renovating the stadium down there in Jacksonville. And so ultimately that may lead to Mike's dream of seeing that briefly be a home and home game. But BA, I turn it back over to you. Final thought on the 2025 schedule and sort of what it means as we sit here today on March 20th.
When Texas and Oklahoma first came in the SEC, I think I was like a lot of people that was saying, boy, I'm not really quite so sure if this is necessarily a good thing. It just sort of feels so different from college football as we knew it. But I guess the caveat to that was, at the very least, there should be a lot more interesting games on Georgia's schedules moving forward. And I think this year and next year in 2025, and it's an example of that. Getting Texas and Alabama both coming in to Sanford Stadium between the hedges is the kind of home game that I just think college football fans live for. It's the kind of thing where the atmosphere can be incredible, reminiscent of maybe what it was like when Notre Dame came here in 2019. I think it has the potential to be some really lifelong memories for the fans who are lucky enough to be holding on to those tickets, and what a hot ticket that will be. So, you know, I think it's a fun thing for Georgia. It's sort of a weird time for the SEC because they are sort of waiting for, you know, the next shoe to fall with some other issues around college football. But at the very least, it's working out right now to be on paper, I believe, the most interesting and just frankly best home schedule that Georgia's probably ever played.
I agree. Yeah, no, I'm with Brie. You know, in terms of the interest level, it's through the roof. Arch Manning could be the starter for Texas. You know, Brock Vandergriff is going to come back to his home state and the school that he graduated from in 3 years, and likely get to play against a Carson Beck-less Georgia team. I don't think Carson's coming back for another Lambeau or anything like that. I think he's going to be in the NFL. I think he's an NFL quarterback talent right now. Who's going to be that guy pulling the trigger? Is it going to be Gunnar Stockton or somebody that's not even on the team yet? Is Kirby going in the portal? I mean, there's so much mystery about it. And I guess if it was old school college football, and I knew that, you know, and Brandon, you brought this point up earlier, I think Connor agreed. If I knew that this nucleus of Georgia guys was still going to be here, I mean, then I'd be like, okay, things will be a lot like that. But this just seems so, you know, Wild West. We don't know what's going to – is Lane Kiffin, is he still going to be the head coach at Ole Miss? You know, is Jamie Chadwell going to have replaced Billy Napier? But there's so many different things that can happen between now and then. And on the surface, yes. The only thing that again, triggers me, Brandon, not here, you know, makes me mad. Still a beautiful day looking outside. But triggers me is that I've had to listen to Greg Sankey and all these coaches and all these presidents and all these athletic directors – talk about the 1-7 model and the 2-6 model and how this means that everybody's going to get to play so many different teams in the league. And now that we've got 16 teams, we're playing the same dadgum schedule from 1 year to the next. It just flies in the face of everything they've been telling us for the last 5 years.
Let me just say one more thing, too. I know we're doing last words here. Looking at a couple of the messages I got, Will Reed wrote in to say, BA, does this mean that Ole Miss is a Georgia rival now? See, here's the thing that some of y'all who are a little younger don't realize. When I was a kid, Georgia and Ole Miss played every year. Back when the SEC only had 6 conference games, and believe it or not, there was a time when the league only played 6 conference games, one of Georgia's permanent opponents that played every year back then was Ole Miss. I think they played like 40 years in a row or something along those lines. So, like, getting back to playing Ole Miss 3 years in a row, that's just what Georgia did the entire time when I was growing up.
I'll close this out here. Look, you know, again, I think Mike is right to bring up, you know, we don't know what the sport is going to look like in terms of all the change and turnover and whatnot moving forward. I mean, you know, 3 months ago, who would have predicted that Nick Saban was no longer going to be the head coach at Alabama and that Kalen DeBoer, of all names, was going to be the head coach there. But when I think of this schedule and I see Alabama on the schedule coming to Athens and I see Texas, I think when I'm walking through, you know, camp parts of campus down Lumpkin Street, up on North Campus, I think of the Hamill family tailgate, which I always try and stop by. I think of, you know, friends that I get to see at various business establishments that I'm not allowed to shout out here. But I think of these people and what that is going to mean and just that experience that game day, not just for those who are in the stands or are fortunate enough to go watch the game, but the atmosphere in and around Sanford that day for those two teams, I think is going to be so significant. It is going, you're already charged up and feeling great thinking about it. I think it is absolutely something that people are looking forward to. And I think in that sense, it's great that Georgia and the Georgia fan base gets to experience these two types of big games at home. While I will also note, keeping rivalry games against Auburn on the schedule moving forward, and then obviously the Florida game there as well. So For Connor Riley, Brandon Adams, and Mike Griffith, that'll wrap us up here. SEC announces the 2025 schedule. Check out the story on dognation.com. I'm sure we'll have much more on this either tomorrow morning with Brandon Adams on Dog Nation Daily or one of Griff's takes as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.